Today's Shir Masechet Chulin, Daf Mem Ches, and we will begin on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Our Gemara continues to discuss a dissolved lung. Amar Rav Nachman Reish Nemuka. If you have a lung that is dissolved, the Krum Shalakayim, and its outer membranes are still intact, the halacha is ksheir, then we have a kosher animal. Says the Gemara Tanya Namihachi, and so too that we learn in a Braisa, Reish Nemuka, if the lung dissolved, the Krum Shalakayim, and its outer membranes are still intact, the halacha is Afilu Machzekis Revius, even if it's so dissolved that it holds a revius of liquid, the halacha is Ksheir, that we have a kosher animal. Machloikis Rishonim, when the Gemara says here that it's dissolved to a revius, doesn't mean strictly a revius or less, or even if it's more than a revius, even if it's dissolved more than a revius, so too would be the same halacha. In fact, the opinions that hold that it doesn't make a difference if it's a revius or more than a revius say a raya to their opinion, based on what we discussed in the previous year. The previous year, we already began discussing the Shaila of a dissolved Reya, a dissolved lung, and the Gemara asked the question, if it's kosher, as we're suggesting, so what is Pshat in the Mishnah when the Mishnah said that a Reya Shechosra is not kosher? If we'll say that a dissolved Reya is not kosher, so we'll say that that's what the Mishnah means when it said Chosra. But if the halacha is suggesting is that it's kosher, what does the Mishnah mean when it said a reya shechasra? And the Gemara gave a teretz that what it means is that it dissolved to that even Rav Shimon, who holds that you have to have a puncture all the way to the base simponis in order for it to be not kosher, will agree that if there's a puncture that caused that there should be part of the reya missing, even he would agree that it's treif. Say these Rishonim. The Gemara could have given a different teretz. That when our Mishnah says chasra is not kosher, it means because it's chasra more than a revius. The fact that the Gemara did not give that answer in the previous year is an indication that it doesn't make a difference if it's a revius or not. And as I said, this is a machloikus Rishonim, which ultimately leads to a machloikus ha'achroinim on this very subject. The Ramah is machmer, and the Ramah says that if it's chosra above a revius, then the animal is not kosher. The Taz takes a more lenient opinion, and the Taz says it doesn't make a difference if it's a revius or more. The halacha is that the animal is kosher. Continues the Braisa. Nitlis shachufishala, if the womb, if the uterus is removed, it's ksheira. And here too, Tosfos points out that when the Gemara says that it's missing the uterus, it means strictly the uterus, not the urinary gland, the urinary tract. Other Rishonim seem to say that the same halacha would be on the urinary tract. It's also the Beis HaShesen has the same din as the Shalchufuchas. Continues the Braisa. Hisli Kavit Shalom. If the liver became wormy, says the Gemara Zayi Maisa, such an episode happened. The Oale Bnei Asya and the Bnei Asya discussed this question. Sholosh Regolim Yavna, three Regolim in Yavna. And I saw a number of Shrotim. What does it mean? Sholosh Regolim Yavna, three Regolim in Yavna. One shot I saw is that the Talmidei Chachamim would typically gather on different occasions, particularly they say on the occasion of yahrzeit of great individuals, and they would discuss outstanding halachic issues, and this happened on three different occasions when they had these gatherings where they discussed the Shaila. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that they used to have Shabbos derigulah, the Shabbos before Yontif, they would have a major address given by the Rav of the city, which all Talmidei Chachamim attended, and that's where they had this discussion. And a third interesting pshat that I saw is that they would actually go to Yisrael, they would, even after the Golus, they would still be Oyle Regel. And what happened here was that they went up to the they all met in Yisrael when they were Oyle Regel to discuss this issue. And in fact, the Paiskim, based on that pshat, want to suggest that the halakha is that one should still be Oyle Regel, go to Yisrael for the Yom Tovim, even Bezman Hazeh. Vola 11, they asked you, Shol Shugon, Yavna. This question was brought up three times, the regular Shlishi, and at the third time when it was brought up, Hitirulhem, they said that it was Mutter. What is the definition of a Kavod Shehitli? I saw interesting Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi and Ram. Because we discussed the other day, the Mishnah already said that if the Kavod falls part of Kavod Shechasra, part of the liver is missing. We learned in Mishnah and the Gemara, the halacha is, as long as it has a kezayis, or some part of it still existing, it's still kosher. And we had a discussion, where does that have to be? One opinion said it has to be next to the gallbladder. Another opinion said it has to be makom chiyusa, which we saw two pshatim. One pshat next to the diaphragm. Another pshat next to the right kidney. And now we have a discussion about, through by the Rishonim, when we speak here about this wormy liver, says the Rashba, that we're speaking about a situation, even if it's wormy, in the place where it's connected, these different places that I just identified. Because the Rashba says, if it's healthy in those places, then it's for sure fine, and it doesn't make a difference to us what is the status of the rest of that liver. That's how the Rashba holds. The Ran disagrees. And the Ran says that it could be that even if it's well and it's attached to these places, but once we have a wormy liver, it's considered a diseased liver, and we can't, and it's not kosher, even if it's fine, b'makim chiyusa. And as the Mefarshim explained this machlokes, the way they explain this machlokes is because the question that's being really discussed is what? How do we look at this disease that's called a wormy liver? Is it to be understood that it's an inherent disease in the liver, serious disease in the liver, and therefore it makes no difference it's going to, that it's not kosher, or maybe not kosher? Or is it just the worms, but the liver is fine? And therefore, certainly, if you have the liver fine in the place where it has to be, the makam chiyusa, there would be no question. The only question is if it has worms, the makam chiyusa. In our previous shir, we discussed at great length the issue of the sirchis on a lung that represent a real question on the kashrus of that animal. So now says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef ben Menuni, Amar Rav Nachman, Reya smucha l'doifin. If the lung has a sircha, but that sircha is attached to that lung is attached to the wall, the chest cavity of the animal, ein chashshulo. We have no problem. There's a machlokes rishonim. What is exactly the case that's being discussed here? The simple pshat, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, is that's referring to a situation where the lung is attached to the wall, and on the lung that's attached to the wall, there is a sircha. However, there are those mefarshim, there are those rishonim that suggest that we're referring to a situation where there's a sircha going from the lung of the animal, going all the way from the lung of the animal until the wall, and that's how it's connected to the wall of the animal. So again, we're going to learn that we're referring to a lung that has a sircha, and as we've been learning, a lung with a sircha is a shayla. But here, this lung that has the shayla is attached to the wall of the animal. And therefore, of Nachman Paskins, ein chashshulo. We need not be concerned. Why? So I saw a number of pshatim in the Rishonim that are relevant to halacha lemaisa. Some Rishonim suggest that the reason is that if there's a possibility that the lung is diseased or that the wall is diseased, and as I must obviously say, if it's the wall that's diseased, the animal is still a kosher animal. So therefore, when we have this question, it's more likely that it's the wall that's diseased and we need not be, and the animal is there for kosher. However, other Rishonim take the approach that, as we've learned many times, the halacha is that if we have a properly slaughtered animal, we could assume that it's a kosher animal, and therefore here we're referring to a properly kosher animal, and that is a question: should we say that it came from the wall and it's a and remains kosher and it's kosher, or it came from somewhere else? It's not kosher. We assume it came from the wall in order to continue the cheskes heter on this animal. Another pshat that I saw, and it's very much in line with what we discussed in our previous year. As we discussed in our previous year, even though we take a very serious attitude towards a sircha, the halacha is that a sircha is not a 100% proof that the animal is not kosher. And therefore, it's a question, but it isn't definitive. And therefore, in this situation, we have a svek sveka. What's the svek sveka? Number one, is this problem from the wall? And as we just said, it's a problem from the wall. The animal's kosher. Or is it from the lung? And furthermore, even if the sircha is from the lung, as we just said, that doesn't mean that the animal's for sure non-kosher. So we have here a situation of a svek sveka, and therefore, we could be more lenient in saying that the animal should be treated kosher. However, helset smachim, if there are blisters around this sircha that's attached to the wall, the lung of the lung that's attached to the wall, that's more reason to be choshish. And choshish in law, we have to be concerned that this is a non-kosher animal. My Yehuda Mishmei Davim Yomer, however, he holds, echad zeh, it makes no difference if it has blisters or doesn't have blisters. Choshish in law, we need to be concerned. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Avdina. So what do we do? And here too, there's a question amongst the Rishonim, how to understand the question the Gemara is now posing, Hechi Avdina. Some Rishonim explain that the Gemara's question is according to Avimi. That according to Avimi, it makes no difference if it has blisters or doesn't have blisters. We always need to be concerned when you have this situation. And now the Gemara is asking, so now that you have this concern, what should you do? However, there are other Rishonim that suggest that this question is even going on what Rav Nachman said. And they understand Rav Nachman's opinion as follows. That if you have the reya attached to the walls of the animal, and there is no tzmachim, there are no blisters, then we consider the animal 100% kosher, and there's nothing to be concerned about. If, on the other hand, it has tzmachim, we have, according to these Rishonim, a concern. And when we say that we have a concern, it means that now we have to do some checking. And if indeed that investigation that we're going to now speak about shows that there's no hole in the wall of the reya, so then even though there's tzmachim, the halacha will be that it's still considered a kosher animal. There are Rishonim, the disputers, and their opinion is that as soon as it has tzmachim, according to Rav Nachman, we can't, the animal is considered not kosher. And according to them, either there's two other pshatim, that Heichi Avdinan is a question that's being posed strictly to Avimi, not to Rav Nachman. According to Rav Nachman, it's very simple. If it has tzmachim, it's not kosher. If it doesn't have tzmachim, it is kosher. And the Gemara's entire question now is only on Rav Nachman. That's one, only on Avimi. Another approach that I saw is that even though Rav Nachman began this sugya by teaching us that if it's attached to the wall without tzmachim, Ein Choshen, that doesn't mean that we don't have to do some sort of checking. And therefore, the Gemara wants to know what type of checking should we do. Heichi Avdinen, says the Gemara, Amar Ravin, Amar Rabbi Ravin Bashva Azbarli. Ravin says, Ravin Bashva taught to me, my sina sakina dechalosh pume, we bring a very sharp knife, umafakinalei, and we very carefully separate the lung from the chest wall. If there's a problem in the wall, now we look at the wall. If we see a problem on the wall, then we say that the wall, that that's why we have the sircha. If not, machmas reyahu, we say that the problem came from the reya. Of treifa afgav the loyfa mapkazika, and even if the lung is blown up and it doesn't show to have any hole, we say that the lung is non-kosher. So the Rishonim ask a question. The obvious reason why we have to be so careful when we remove this lung from the animal is because we need to be concerned that we shouldn't puncture the membrane of the lung. So they ask, based on the way we just explained the Gemara, that if there's a problem on the wall, then we'll say the problem is from the wall. And if not, will say that it came from the lung, why do we have to be so careful about keeping the lung intact? So I saw two different approaches in the Rishonim. One approach in the Rishonim is that our Gemara, even though it's saying that we see that there's a problem on the wall, we say that the problem came from the wall, that's only in a case where the lung is fine. But in a case where the lung will not be fine, in a case where the lung will be proven to have a puncture, even though we see a problem on the wall of the animal as well, we would have to be machmer. That's one approach in the Rishonim, and that's why we have to be so very careful to keep the animal to keep the lung intact. But then I saw just the opposite approach. What's going to be the halacha if we indeed separate the lung from the wall of the animal, we examine the animal and there's no problem on the lung, but we also then look at the lung and the lung turns out to be fine. So what would we say then is the halacha? And many Rishonim take the opinion that then will be Mekel. If that's the case, our Gemara, it's very understandable why we need to keep the lung intact. Because if we won't find a problem in the lungs, in the wall, but if we won't find a problem in the lung as well, then we're going to say that it's obvious that the problem emanates from the wall, or we could take a more lenient approach. And that's why it's so very important to try to, as the Gemara says, to cut the lung off in such a careful way that it shouldn't in any way represent, that it shouldn't in any way puncture the lung, and we shouldn't be able to do the test that we just now discussed. Rav Nachman Rei, the Rav Yosef, Badek Le Rav Pshurei, what Rav Nachman Yosef would do is he would put the lung, as we discussed so many times in our parak, he would put the lung into the lukewarm water and do that test to see if there was or wasn't a hole in the lung. Says the Gemara, Amalei ma'arizotra b'rei d'avchuna b'rei d'rapapi l'arvina. Hadrim nechemi b'rei d'rab Yosef. This halacha that you've been teaching us about doing this test of immersing the lung into lukewarm water to see if it has a hole or not, ahamas nisula. You taught it regarding this case, regarding the lung that's adhering to the wall of the animal that has a sircha. I, he ever says, anan ad the rabba mas nisula. I learned this regarding what rabba taught us. Dama rabba. Hani tati, halacha that we learned in the previous year. Hani tati uni, the rei, the srichan adadi. If you have two of the unin, two of the lobes of the lung that are not next to each other, that we discussed in the previous year, that if there's a sircha between these two lobes, We have an issue, as you said, leslu the dikusa lakshure. There is no way to say that that lung is kosher. To that, says the Gemara, from the Chemi Breder of Yosef, says that even though you have a sircha going to non-adjacent unois, you could do this test by putting it into luke water to see if it has a hole or not. It's important to point out the Tosfos, the third Tosfos on our Amid, the second part of the Tosfos teaches us. It is now our minig already, says Tosfos, to treat all circus as treif. We don't do any examination on them. We see a circa, we say the animal is treif. We discussed in the previous year if it's the difference between circus and rerun. Ask the Gemara on this version, Maskula Ravashi, Hai Mai, I don't understand this version that you're saying Rav Nechemya tested it, the Pshuri, Bishwa Mahaka, in the Gemara that we're learning today, Talina Mishdoifin, where we have a circle on a lung that's attached to the wall, so we could say, as we've been discussing, that the circle comes from the wall of the animal, and not from the lung of the animal. But Bishwa Mahaka, Talina Mishdoifin, we say that it comes from the doifin, and that's why it's kosher. Aval Hasam, if in that case, where we have a lung with circus, a high knock of treifa, a high knock of treifa. Wherever the circus is coming from, we need to be concerned, as we discussed extensively, that the animals are treifa. And therefore, it shouldn't make a difference, and it's a treifa, and there's no test to make it kosher. So as we began this sugya, Rav Nachman taught us that if the circa, if the reya, with a sircha is attached to the wall, but that reya has in it smachim, it has blisters, so we learned that we need to be concerned and that the animal is not kosher. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi, is this indeed the opinion of Rav Nachman? V'amar Yosef Ben Yuni Amar Rav Nachman, reya shenifa, if the reya has a hole, v'doysen sois mesa, and it's closed up by the wall of the by the chest cavity of the animal, it's kosher. So we see that as soon as it's closed up by the chest cavity, we say that the animal is kosher. And we don't differentiate if it has tzmachim or doesn't have tzmachim. Answer the Gemara like kosher. Ha b'makim revisa, ha shalai b'makim revisa. It makes a difference if it's in the place where it's normally against the wall of the animal. If that's where it is, it's considered a legitimate enclosure. Ha, shvilay makar visa, if it's not where it's normally next to the wall of the animal, there the wall cannot serve as an enclosure. Ask the Gemara, the heikum makar visa, where is the part of the animal where we say that it's normal, that's where it grows, and the wall could serve as an enclosure. And the upper part of the lung, that's next to the windpipe, that's where it's very close to the wall, and that's where the wall can serve as a enclosure. That's where the wall can serve as an enclosure of this hole. Amle Rav Yosef Lervina, the Gufa, continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef Ben Yuni, Amar Rav Nachman, Rei Shenikfa, if the Rei has a hole, the Doifin Sasmasa, and it's enclosed by the chest cavity, it's Kshela. On this comments Ravina, Amar Ravina, Behu the Sabaka Visra, but it has to be attached to the meat that's by the ribs of the animal. That means it has to be next to the meat, and enmeshed in the meat, not simply stuck to the meat. There are Rishonim that say that if it's attached to the ribs, it will have the same halacha. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Reb Yosef, ask the Gemara, Vi loy savach mai, if it's not totally enmeshed in the meat, we assume that's a treifa. Alma. So obviously, we are of the opinion that Mekuvihi, that's considered a whole and is a tray for animal. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, the fact is that it's considered a whole, because if it's not, then the halacha is that it would be treif otherwise. So ask the Gemara, Hachi kisabach nami. So what does it make a difference that it's enmeshed in the meat? Hatanya, we learned. The halacha is that the Torah Kedoshah says, Lo yava tzudaka krus shifcha b'kal Hashem. A person who has a puncture in his aver is disqualified from getting married into our people. And the Braisa, in discussing the Kris Shifcha, says, Nikaf, if it has a puncture, if the Aver has a puncture, he is considered Kris Shifcha, Neshu Shoises, because the Zera doesn't come out when he, not in an ejaculation, it just flows out. Nistam, but if it, that hole was closed up, Kosher, Neshu Moilu, then he does have the ability to have children, and therefore he could get married and be part of our, get married. But the Braisa ends off, this is the only situation where we have something that puzzled. The person was considered a Kris Shifcha, and then after he was a Kris Shifcha, he could be considered fine again. Other situations, the halacha is that once he's not well, he remains not well permanently. What does the Braisa seem to mean with this? It seems to be teaching us, Lala Mutikai Gavna. It seems to be teaching us this very case, that if he had this issue, he becomes, once the Reya has a hole, it becomes permanently disqualified. So how can we say that if it has a hole, but it's enmeshed in the meat, it's fine? So the Gemara, loy. That's not what the Braisa means to exclude. Braisa means to exclude Krumsh Ola Machmas, Machmas Breya. That if you have a regular scab, which we've been discussing, a scab is not considered a seal that the a closing that the closure of the neck is. Then a krum. But this is considered a legitimate closure when it's enmeshed in the meat, and therefore the animal will not be considered treif. But I saw in the Achronim a discussion why indeed is this enclosure, when this nekev in the reya is enmeshed in the meat, we don't have a problem. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that that's considered a valid enclosure, or it's, and therefore even though it's not, in other words, what the Gemara is teaching us is not that a scab is always a problem. It matters what kind of a scab. And this is a good scab. It is considered a legitimate closure. When there are other scabs that are not legitimate enclosures. Or another pshat that I saw is that since the reya is supposed to be near the doifin, or it's normally near the doifin, so it's considered like it's properly enclosed, because that's where the reya, that's where it's supposed to be. What's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? It goes back to an issue that we discussed in previous shiur, and that is, what will be the halacha? We spoke about a hole in the reya. We spoke about a hole in the veshit. That the halacha is that those, a scab in those holes will still remain non-kosher. So how do we understand that din? Is it a halacha strictly limited to these two organs, the veshit and the reya? That there, a scab is not a legitimate closure. Everywhere else it is. Or is it really in all areas? Wherever we speak about a nekev, a scab isn't a good enclosure. And perhaps that question is connected to this question. The pshat that says that this is a good scab seems to teach us that by reya, and so with the by veshit, a scab isn't good, but this scab is good. But if we're going to say that here there's a new reason altogether, because when the reya is next to the meat of the ribs, so it's not like it ever had a scab, it could be that any scab, according to that approach,
not dafka on the rei or on the veshit would be an issue.
Maskev lo Rav Ada Marok Rachama. The ink of doifen lahadi mai treifa. What would be if the reya has a hole, and next to the meat where the reya is, there's a hole in that wall as well? So even though we've been learning from the beginning of our shiur today that a hole in the doifen of the animal does not make the animal non-kosher, certainly in a case where there's a hole in the reya and that hole continues in the wall next to the animal's reya, which has a hole, that animal will be certainly treif. So ask the Gemara, if that is indeed the halacha, so then listen, so why isn't that case also included in the Mishnah? Nekuvas ha-doifin, where there's a hole next to the doifin, next to the reya. Answers the Gemara, Ulatamei, let's discuss another issue. Hadamar Yitzvah by Yosef Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Marish and Nikfa, we discussed the halacha where the gallbladder has a puncture. The covered sasmasa, and it's covered, and that hole is covered by the liver, so we learn that that animal is still kosher. But what would be the halacha, says the Gemara, Ilu inkin covered lahado, if the gallbladder has a hole, and the place that the gallbladder is covered by the liver, that place as well has a puncture, it would be treifa. So if that's the case, why isn't that case included as well? Listening, shouldn't that have been mentioned in the kuvas akevet? Ella, ki nikva delav minel mitrefa loiktani. That even though the halacha is that these cases that we're now discussing, the animal would certainly be non-kosher, we're not discussing those cases. We're only discussing cases where the actual organ under discussion as a whole. Achanami came in the lab mina mitra for like tani. Even though certainly this animal would be not kosher, that isn't the list that's being discussed in our Mishnah that it would be considered a non-kosher animal. Ask the Gemara. Boy minei rabba babachana mishmul. Helsuk smachim ma'al. What is the halacha if the lung has blisters? And there's some Rishonim that say that if the lung has blisters and those blisters have non-clear water, there's no shaila that that animal is certainly not kosher. He was speaking about a case where the blisters don't have non-clear water or don't have any liquid in them at all. And that's now the question, how do we look at this animal? Amalek Sheva. It's kosher. Amalek Afani Oymekein. So he said, I actually agree with that as well. Elo Shatamidim Midanzin Bedover. The Talmidim I found actually questioned this psak, if that is indeed the halacha. Dara Masna. And they say, Mala Mugla. If it is full of pus, it's trefa. Mayim Zovin. If it has clear water, it's kosher. And Amalei, to which he said, that halacha that differentiates between pus and clear water, b'kol yitmer, was said regarding the kidney. That doesn't have anything to do with the discussion that we're having regarding the lung. Says the Gemara of Yitzchak by Yosef, have a ka'oza basfei Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shuchat et adachi. He was walking behind Rabbi Yirmiyah in the butcher's market. Chazuna lahanet b'kayim et simchi tzimchi. There were lungs there that were full of blisters. Amalei, so Rabbi Yitzchak said to him, Lebay my umsa. And the reason Rabbi Yitzchak said this to Rabbi Yirmiyah, because he wanted to hear what Rabbi Yirmiyah holds regarding the animals with blisters, lungs with blisters. Amalei, to which he responded, Lesley Priti, I don't have money to buy meat with. Amalei, Atfranon, I'll lend you money. Amalei, to which then Rabbi Yitzchak was forced to be straight, and he said to Ma'evelach, what should I tell you? The reason I don't want to eat from this meat, the kios l'kameid Rabbi Yochanan, when such a question would come to Rabbi Yochanan, m'shtad l'le l'kameid Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimshon, he would send this question to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimshon, the marv b'mishmeid Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Atera, who paskened that it was mutter. However, Rabbi Yochanan l'le l'israel, Rabbi Yochanan himself did not hold that it was mutter, and therefore he didn't want to pasken. Says the Me'iri, this Gemara teaches us a tremendous halacha l'maisa.
of the meaning.
The Gemara here is teaching us that even when we have a situation where there is an individual who is machmer in a question, where there's a Rav who's machmer in a question, but he knows that most Rabbonim take a lenient opinion to that issue, so he has a right to say, don't ask me this question, ask the question of the other Rav who's more lenient. And the Gemara actually goes, the Miri goes a step further. Not only is he obligated, not only may he do so, but he could even say that I myself may not be Mako, but the other Rav is Mako, and quote that Rav's opinion explicitly. So if so, ask the Miri, so why didn't Rav Yitzchak say that right away, did it? Why did Rav Yitzchak just say immediately to Rav Yirmiyah? Why did Rav Yirmiyah, I mean, say immediately to Rav Yitzchak, there are Rabbanim that are Mekel, but I, as a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, want to be Machmer. So to that the Miri responds, because it's also important that a person remain modest. And that if a person, even if he has a Chumrah, doesn't need to advertise that Chumrah. So at the beginning, Rav Yirmiyah did not want to tell Rav Yitzchak that he personally is Machmer. He tried avoiding saying it until he had no choice. But then the Mefarshim go on to ask that there's a Gemara in Masech de Yuma. The Gemara in Masech de Yuma says, Heichi Dom Yichil Hashem, what is an example of a Chil Hashem? And the Gemara says, Rav said that if I buy meat on credit, if I buy food on credit, that is an example of a Chil Hashem. So the question is, if a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to buy on credit, how did he want that she buy, in this case, he should buy in credit? So I saw a number of terutzim to this question. One terutz, probably simplest terutz, is that you're not allowed to buy in credit if you don't have a guarantor. But here, what Rav Yitzchak was saying to Rav Yirmiyah is that you buy on credit and I'll be the guarantor. When there's a guarantor, that's not considered a situation that one is buying on credit. Another pshat that I saw is that when may one not buy on credit? In a situation where he has money available to pay. So if he could pay, he shouldn't buy in credit. He should pay for what he's buying if he can afford to. But if a person doesn't have the means to pay, even a Talmud Chacham, under those circumstances, has the right to pay on credit. Here, clearly, Rav Yirmiyah didn't have money, so he would be allowed to buy on credit. A third pshat, interesting pshat that I saw, is when may a Rav not buy on credit? A Rav may not buy on credit if he's giving the Hekshah. Because since he's on the Gei B'Davar, he's involved here, he should be so careful not even to buy anything on credit. Clearly, in this situation, Rav Yirmiyah wasn't giving a Hekshah to this meat. Rav Yirmiyah held you not allowed to eat from this meat. And therefore, he wasn't on the Gei B'Davar, and he was allowed to buy on credit. Amar Rav, says the Gemara, when I would walk behind Rav Nachman, b'shuka del Gildoi, in the market of the leather workers, Ramele b'shuka del Rabbanon. Others say that this happened in b'shuka del Rabbanon, where Rabbanon used to sit. I heard another pshat, what pshat b'shuka del Rabbanon, where the Rabbanon in the shuk. It was in the Sfarim stores. They had the market where all the Tashmish and Kedusha were sold, and that's where you would be able to find Rabbanon. Kandi. I saw these lungs that had blisters that were very big. He didn't say anything to them. He said that the animals are still kosher. Rav Ami, Rav Asi, have a chalki b'shukud at the Tveria. They used to walk in the marketplace of Tveria. Chazi hanach the kaimi tinri tinri. He saw these blisters that were very big. And the Farshim explained what's the difference between tinri and kandi. The difference is that one is very hard, big and hard, and the other one is big and soft. And he was saying that it makes no difference if they're hard, big and hard, or big and soft, they're, he held they were kosher. We begin now a new issue. It says the Gemara Itma, Machat Shenimchat Nimtzus Bereya. If we find a needle in the Reya. So the Farshim first of all asked, How would you find a machat in the reya? Once you cut up the reya, and we're going to discuss, then you have to see that it made a hole in that. It's too late to do any of the tests. You already have a cut up reya. So the Mefarshim gives two answers. One answer, very much in line with what we said, is the minig bezman hazeh, that we inspect all reyas, and they inspected the reya, and the reya had no hole. And now, when we open it up, we see there's a needle in it. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that they were examining, they took the reya out of the animal, and when they felt it, they felt that there was something in this reya. They felt there was some sort of abnormality here. There's something in this reya. So the first thing that they did was that they blew it up, and they saw that there was no hole. And then they cut it open, and they saw that it has a machat in it. And in fact, that's why the Mefarshim say that the wording of the Gemara here is different than the wording that we've normally had in all of our discussions regarding the reya. In all of our discussions about a reya, we speak about a reya shenik for the reya, this problem or that problem. Here the Gemara focuses on the machat. Because what happened here, as we just explained, we had the reya, we examined the reya. The reya is fine, but now we find this needle when we open up the reya. And what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina Machshiri, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Mani ben Patish, Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov Tasi. Says the Gemara, Leim b'Hakanofki. What is the machloikis? The masava chisam b'snim shmei chsar. And therefore, the needle obviously has caused that part of the inside of the reya is deficient, and therefore it's treif. And that's why it's still kosher. Says Marloi, that's not the way to understand the Gemara. Because everybody will agree, and as Mefarshim explained, because as we discussed in our previous year, the Gemara in our previous year already came to the maskana that everybody holds that chsarim b'fnim lo shmei chsarim. So the Gemara wants to remain with that approach. For Hachab, what is the machlokes here about? Masava sintuni nakot vasoi, that we assume that the needle went through the breathing tube, went through the kana into the bronchial tube, into the animal, and that's into the reya, and that's why it's kosher. Masava nakuvin nakot vasoi. Nothing usually goes through the kana. Everything goes through the vasha. So what must have happened is that the animal must have swallowed this needle, and the needle then went into the vashit, into the stomach, and punctured all the way into the reya, and that's why it's trace. Says the Gemara, Hahi machta d'shtaka b'chituch of the reya. There was once the reya was cut open, and they found the needle there. Asil kamed ravani, sava lakshura. He wanted to say that it's kosher. Esrei rav yimiyah, v'tem rav zrika. Hareya shenikva ashechasra. We learned in our Mishnah that you have a reya or nikva chasra. It's not kosher. And the question, as we've been learning, my chasra, what's the definition of chasra? Yilem b'chutz. If we're going to say that it's missing from the outside, higher nikva, isn't that the same as a puncture? Elolaf, doesn't the Mishnah, when it said chasra, mean that mifnim, that part of the inside of the lung is missing? And shmamina, and isn't the Mishnah teaching us that chasarin shemifnim shmei chisarin, and therefore if a needle was found inside the reya, shouldn't the halacha be that this animal is not kosher? Said the Gemara. So because of this, he didn't want to give an answer. Ami was no longer ready to say that it's kosher. Hadush ruul kamei der Yitzchak Nafka. They sent this question to Yitzchak Nafka. Savalach shur. Again, he also wanted to say it's kosher. Eser Rabbi Yimi Rabbi Tamer Zreika Rei Shnikva Shachasra. The same question. My Chasra. What does the Mishnah mean when it said Chasra? Elam B'chutz. If we're going to say that it has a hole from the outside, so isn't that Nikva? We already mentioned it. Elav. Doesn't the Mishnah mean B'befnim? And isn't a Raya Chasra B'befnim Shnei Chasarin? So how do you want to hold that a Raya that has a needle in it should be Kasher? Hadash Adrua Kamei De Ravami. So then it was sent to Ravami B'terfua Amrilei. For Rabbanim Achshri, we had all these Rabbanim that we mentioned earlier who said that it's kosher. Amla, Heinech Shiru, they said it's kosher. Sheyodim Eizetam of Shiru, they obviously knew what
reason to be machshir. A non, but we meizatam man machshir. Dilma yevarei kamon mnitvei. Maybe it would be. We would hold. Maybe we would see there was clearly punctured. So, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is they obviously checked the reya before they had the needle, before they discovered the needle, and they saw that the reya had no hole, and that's why they held it kosher. We didn't. So, what does this seem to say? Tama. The only reason Rav Ami is saying that we have to consider this reya not kosher, the lace, because we don't have the ability to examine it, blow it up, and see if it doesn't have a hole. Haisa. But if we had the reya here, and we examined it, and it turned out the loy mintva doesn't have a hole, we would say it's kosher. Ask the Gemara, but even if it was here, isn't the fact that it has a hole, need we not be concerned, as we learned a moment ago, haisa the reya the ink of trefa, that it must be that the whole needle came from the veshit through the stomach to the reya? Answers the Gemara, said the Gemara, that was said specifically when the branchial tube was punctured next to the adjacent tube. Here, where there's a puncture between two branchial tubes, that's where we need to be concerned that they're not going to be able to, that hole won't be closed up, and that's why it's treif. Under other circumstances, we don't necessarily say it's treif. Ask the Gemara, Vama, Rav Nachman, Hayadur de Kanta, the coil of the intestine, which really means colon, the Ninkif Lahadichavri, that it has a hole, but that hole is right next to another coil, because you know it looks like a long coil. The halacha is that's Meganala, so it protects it. One hole, one part of the colon covers up the punctured part. So why over here, if there's a puncture in the bronchial tube next to the second bronchial tube, don't we say that one closes up the other one? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, treifa is coming down the ladavi. You're attempting to say that the locha one shiloh of treifa should be the same by another shiloh. And I'm remember treifa zu doim zu. When we speak about treifas, we don't compare different situations. Why? We know, we will discuss that if the animal has a cut on its leg, the halacha, according to many opinions, this way most of us explain the Gemara, is if it's on the lower part of the leg, it's treif. On a higher part of the leg, it's not treif. So we see that we don't compare one situation to another situation when we speak about health treifas. Others say that the halacha is that if there's a hole in the spleen, one part will be a problem, another part won't be. Another is, as we've been learning in our sugyas, that we're so concerned about the smallest puncture in certain organs, and other organs can have even larger punctures and it will still be kosher. So when we speak about health treifas, we don't compare one organ to another organ. Says the Gemara, Hahi Machta Tishtakach Bisimpuna Rabbi Dereya. There was a machet in the main bronchial tube of a lawn. Asul Kamei Rabbanan was brought to Rabbanan Terfai, who said that the animal was not kosher. They came to Rabbanan that animal treif based on what we discussed. But Amru, and then normally that, even though they normally said that it's treif, here they didn't want to say anything. Heter la'amru, they didn't want to say it's heter, like they've been learning all along. Kishmatayu, as we've been discussing all along. Issanam la'amri abay, but they didn't want to say it's usr, kivin dem simpuna rabbi shtakif, since it was found in this main bronchial tube, ema simpuna nakif vasoy, we have more reason. Even though they normally don't agree that we should think that the needle came in through the breathing tube, through the kana, it normally should come through the veshit, the fact that it's found in the primary bronchial tube gives a strong reason to believe that that's where it came from, and that's why they said that it's here it may be kosher. Says the Gemara, he machta v'shtake b'chiticha b'kavda. There was a needle found in a piece of liver. Some mabre reversalim etifah. So he wanted to say it was a trace, because how did it get there, if not that it came through the stomach to the liver and must have punctured something. Amalei Ravashi. If you found a needle in a piece of meat, would you say it's treif? Certainly not. Here too, it's not treif just because of the hole. Elam Ravashi. The way to make this, to determine the shayla of the sound. Chazina. Iku filabar nekuv nekov v'asi. If the position, if the blunt end of the needle is outside the liver, and the tip, the pointy part, is in the liver, then it obviously came into the liver from the outside, and it must have come through the digestive tract, and therefore the animal is treif. Ikufala igav, simpunakavasai, but if the pointy part is facing outwards, again we could assume that it came through the parochial tubes into the liver, and therefore it's kosher. But this was only said by a limta, by a large needle. Avokatenta, by a small needle. Noishna kupa lagav, noishna kupa labar. It makes no difference in what this direction the needle is facing. The kuv and the kuv v'asei, we have to be concerned that that needle traveled through the stomach to the liver and caused that the animal should be treif. Interesting question that was posed by the Tzemach Tzedek, not the Tzemach Tzedek, the Lubavitch Rebbe, the Shas Tshuva Tzemach Tzedek, an earlier one, where they were eating liver on Friday night in a home, in a town, and they discovered a needle in that piece of liver. It was a small needle. The Al Gemara just said that such a needle causes that the liver should be treif. And that is a real issue, and as the question is posed, almost everybody in the city was affected by the shayla, because in those days the small cities, they shechted one animal, everybody from the city ate from that animal, and moreover, not only that, but what happened was that they used to have liver. All the pots and dishes in the entire city were affected by that liver. And the question was how to treat this issue. So the Tzemach Tzedek, this Tzemach Tzedek, wants to take two reasons to be made of. He says, firstly, it could be that this entire discussion that we're having in Al Gemara is only when the needle was found in the liver immediately after the Shechita, not when it was found later. Here it was obviously found much later after the Shechita. Furthermore, he says that this needle looked like the needle that women used to sew with, that people used to sew with. And therefore, there's reason to believe that somebody was sewing, and as they were sewing and using the needle, they accidentally also were cooking at the same time, and that's how the needle fell into the liver. And that's why he wants to be makel. However, and actually the Prima Gaudim agrees with that opinion. However, the two are sharp, and the Tzemach Tzedek, the Lubavitch Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek, disagree. They say that Al Gemara doesn't make any differentiation if it was found immediately after the Shechita or not immediately after the Shechita, and therefore they said that that's the case of Al Gemara, that when a small needle is found, we need to be concerned that the animal is not kosher.